I can't remember now if I already would have.
You're good. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. Good evening, everyone. It is 6 o'clock on February 12th, 2018. This is a meeting of the Town of Duxbury Select Board. Calling the meeting to order and starting with introduction of Select Board members. I'll change it up and start to my right today.
Tamitha Thomas-Hossey.
Erin Lander.
Jerry McMahon.
Lars Dixon.
Stacy Gibson-Granfield. All right, any additions or changes to the agenda? I have one change. That is to move the attorney-client communication executive session up to the top after approval of minutes, since the town attorney is here to give us advice on a legal matter, and like to make best use of his time and let him depart early. Any other additions or changes?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, citizens and visitors to address the select board. So if you're here about the Camel's Hump Management Plan, we do have that as an item on the agenda, so we would ask that you wait until then if that's what your reason is. So if there's anybody here that wants to talk about something other than that, now is your moment to address the board. So anybody? Nope. That was a no, right, Jeff? For now.
I'll wait till town meeting.
Okay. I'm sure lots of people feel that way. Okay, next item is approval of minutes. So starting with the...
January 22nd
correct.
Meeting.
Yep. Are there any additions to the minutes of that meeting?
No changes.
No.
I move that we approve the minutes as submitted.
Is there a second? Jerry seconded. All those in favor of approving the meeting minutes of January 22nd? January?
Yep, January
22nd. 22nd. Please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. And then the meeting minutes of January 30th, 2018. I had one edit under, it says adjournment from executive session. The first bullet, the date needs to be fixed there.
Is that the date of submission of the...
Yeah,
letter
it says receipt of a letter
February
from February to January.
January.
Yeah, just fix that. Any other edits? Okay, is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as amended for the January 30th, 2018 Select Board Special
Second.
Meeting.
Lars seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, so with that brings us to the change in the agenda, which is to go into executive session to hear legal advice from the town attorney. So do we have a motion to enter?
Just plug our ears.
All right. Sally, Adam will let you in the town garage.
Adam will
have to walk through all that ice.
I move that we move to executive session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Guys, have it.
We'll do our best to keep it snappy.
So you can join the rest of the group in the town guards. We have to talk with the town attorney, and then we'll have somebody come back and get you, and you can come back in. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Learn how to run the equipment, whatever.
Hopefully you'll come through this wall.
Yeah, right.
I have profan influence.
All
right. Thank you all.
Thanks,
Bob.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Yeah. Don't slip
from sight.
Yeah. That's okay. Like a skating rink
out
there.
So we're on the record.
Hello, welcome back.
We solved all the world's problems.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. We can go home. Nice.
We got the garage all figured out now.
Oh,
did
that's
you fix,
good.
Fix the roof.
Oh, that's cool.
It's all we need is the steel beams.
Did you see how I go over the yard?
No.
The horse slipping.
That I forgot to mention.
Okay.
Can I go back?
The minutes?
You gotta do it on the record.
Oh, we have more people.
Yeah.
Everybody, please make sure you've signed in if you didn't already.
Sorry,
I should have talked to you before you sat down.
The only one I've got is the one that people are signing in on. Sorry.
What, an agenda?
Yeah,
I wrote on mine already, but you can look at it.
You want to see if you're going to be here till 12?
Hey, we're not going to be here till 12.
Did you see I'm going to be finicky?
I know. Let's just get them 6 footers. My dad was
saying that. Yeah, it's in my hand.
Don't worry, we're going to go fast.
Sorry, I'm good. Holding up the works here.
Dilly dally.
Exactly.
Let's go.
I'm going to make a questionnaire for the kids to fill out what they liked and what they didn't like. So, I'm stoked.
We can keep excited.
Yeah. We can keep moving.
Yeah, exactly. And underneath, all the gum
that's once you start up, can I?
Say yeah, we came out of a session at whatever.
Yep, just with noise, background noise, drop down a little bit. All right, so we are out of executive session, returning at 6:36 p.m. And Tamitha, you have an additional change to the minutes?
Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot that I needed to make a change to the meeting minutes from January 22nd regarding Brian Fitzgerald. And the notes state that he submitted his resignation as of town meeting, and he did not resign. His term is up. And then the notes, the minutes also reflect that the new select board will need to appoint a new chair, and that needs to be changed to the committee, or the planning commission actually elects its own chair. The select board does not appoint that, the chair. So I will make those changes.
Okay. So do we need to reapprove those minutes?
Yes, probably.
I move that we approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes of January 22nd as amended
again?
For the second time, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So the next item on the agenda is Adam with the highway report.
Okay, so we'll start off with the grants, as we always do. As people are seeing from the emails, John is working on the easements and notifying the utilities, getting ready for the project on Dowsville for the summer. Turner Hill, the AOT grant for the 8x7 box culvert. I'm awaiting a scope of work from V-Trans. Turner Hill for the Better Back Roads is for summer 2018. Marshall Road, I'm awaiting payment still from Central Vermont Regional Planning. FEMA, I received the report today from FEMA going over what some possible fix for the slide on Crossit Hill. I did not get a chance to look at it today, but I'm going to sit down and take a look at it when I can. The barricades are installed on the Crossit Hill by the slide, and they're pinned together. Except for the 6 that were originally there, we tried to move them, but they were frozen to the ground. Mm-hmm. So we used our excavator and Ireland's crane, and we still couldn't get them to move. So we're going to have to go back and pin those 6, but I don't foresee them moving anytime soon. plowing, sanding, and salting, as everybody can see. We got the chains on the grader today, and we're going to get the wing on so we can start pushing banks back, hopefully by Wednesday. We also filled the holes in by the old schoolhouse on Main Street and the entrance of Crossit Hill down here by the town garage. When we filled those holes in, we were approached by a property owner that was very upset that we were filling the holes because they liked the bumps there to slow the traffic down. I told them that we can't use that as a speed deterrent. I mean, they were very deep, and potentially we could have even done damage to our town dump trucks, mm-hmm. not to mention residents' cars. So we did go ahead and fill the holes in. So she was upset, but we still did it just for the motoring traffic. I'm still working on my work calendar. I've been working, this is the foreman's work, working with the crew. And also we met with the Friends of the Mad River to go over high areas of erosion in the town of Duxbury. There's a possibility of five sites that we will pick all together in the Mad River, the Friends of the Mad River, the town, for grant money to fix some of the areas. Lars was at that meeting, and we gave them quite a few sites.
Yeah, we gave them about 15, I'd say.
Yeah, wow. 15 or 20 just of in areas that we know are common issues with erosion and water runoff.
And is it five for Duxbury, or is it five for...
Five for Duxbury, I believe that's what she said.
Each of the five towns submits as many as they feel are severe enough, and then they went on down, five per town, or whatever number is appropriate.
Now for equipment, truck three, both rear leaf springs were broke. The truck was towed to Clark's and repaired within 4 days, and then it was back here. So the truck is now back in service. I have not received a bill yet for that.
Do you know what caused that damage?
Well, I used to put springs in that truck every year. That's why we don't buy trucks anymore with leaf springs, because it's a common wear item. They break. They get the trucks bounce. They're more susceptible to breaking when the truck is empty than when it's loaded. So I used to put springs in that truck every year. After we talked about getting rid of the truck, I decided not to put springs in it, and it caught me. So. Okay. But it was repaired. Clark's did a good job. It was back, like I said, within 4 days. The truck was back here. So, my injury, I was cleared for duty on Monday the 5th to go back to full duty. I have follow-up appointments every 2 weeks for the next 2 months or so. It's on a two-week period. If things start going backwards, then they're going to put me back off of driving, but they're comfortable with letting me drive
And we do have that in writing, and it's in his personnel file. So,
yep, I submitted it to you guys. Yep. During Wednesday storm, as I emailed you guys, kind of short notice about doing a ride along with the during the storm, Lars did go. Had a great time.
Well, good time.
I don't know.
It was educational, and it. One of the outstanding parts of that ride along was when you consider you have a man running a $200,000 truck carrying 70,000 pounds, and you have residents roaring down hills and going sideways on them. There's nothing that the truck driver can do. That's it. And everybody needs to slow down on blind hills and blind curves and just expect a truck to be on the other side. Everybody's got to be in that habit. And clearly, that is not the case. On just a random ride-along I took for 4 hours, it crops right up. It's one of the hardest parts, I would think, of the job is preparing yourself for what's around the next corner. Mm. But it was an interesting ride.
So again, if we do get any other storms that are like that and anybody on the board would like to go, just let me know and I'm happy to coordinate with you and you guys can go. Stacy, I think you've probably done your fair share.
Yeah. Pregnant and not pregnant.
And finally, we have a crew opening. As many of you know, we had a crew member resign from his position. And I just want to know how do you guys want to proceed with this?
So just for the record, the board received and accepted a letter of resignation from Brian Gibbs on the 29th of January. So we have a full-time position open. We are currently filling it with a part-time person, Eric Ladensack, who we had brought on prior to this because of Adam not being able to work. So we have Eric working part-time, coming in during storms and as needed. And then Randy's still full-time, and now we have Adam back in the truck. We posted the job. We're accepting applications for a full-time road crew operator. And I believe, Adam, you had expressed giving till the end of February and then setting up interviews at that point. Most likely they would begin after town meeting, I would think. But I'm throwing that out there without having discussed that with the board at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of where we're at. I don't know if other members of the board have thoughts on the timing of things.
My only question would be, why would we wait to interview somebody if we have a qualified candidate? Why would we wait until March?
Because we have two applications. Neither one of them fit the complete bill, if you will. So I think, you know, giving enough time to get more applications in, maybe to kind of see. You want something to compare to. We don't want to just fill it with the first person that can drive a tandem truck. Doesn't necessarily mean they can plow. Doesn't mean they can operate a grader or an excavator. There's a lot more to the job than just driving a dump truck. So I think that was where Adam and I were kind of coming from, and with Lars, too. We talked about, you know, we want to get as wide a pool of candidates as possible. It's only been posted for a week. We have two applications. I'm not saying neither one of them are qualified. They could be.
Mm-hmm.
I've only looked at one of them, to be honest. I haven't looked at the second one.
I have not either. I only looked
But I think, you know, we aren't doing ourselves any good, any favors by just rushing into this at this point. I think there's a lot of potential out there. Kind of be nice to give people enough time to think about it and apply. And
yeah, I wasn't saying necessarily to make a decision right away, but I think if we have a qualified applicant that does meet all of the all of the listed requirements, that it might make sense to interview them sooner if they're available, just so that we can kind of keep that process moving. You know, and if we get some more, and maybe we don't make a decision until March. But that way, at least they know we're interested. If they're interviewing at other places, they at least have an inkling that we're going to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think it's probably better to do the interviews fairly close together, because if we interview one guy in February, one in April, it's going to be hard to recall correctly how they compare and contrast. So
I don't think we're waiting until April, though.
Well, hopefully not.
We could. I mean, we have two applications so far. Like I said, I only looked at one of them. I haven't looked at the second one. I couldn't begin to tell you what that gives Adam for potential. I think it's only been posted 1 week. I think it's premature to set a time limit at this point. I think we need to give it at least another week or two, see if we get more applications. If we don't, then we could always revisit it at the next select board meeting. But
that's fine.
That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just want to know what the board thought and what their thoughts.
I don't think the board had thought about it, because we haven't talked about it.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Tamitha, do you have any thoughts?
No, I think initially I was with Stacy with Aaron, and that to express some interest that we received it, that we see that they're qualified. I think it's helpful for people to know when the position is going to close, so that they sort of, in case they are looking at other places.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to establish a date to close the receiving of applications?
I don't want to. I'd say it's open until filled.
If it's open until filled, then when would you suggest we start actually interviewing? Or do we interview as qualified applicants come in?
We could start interviewing as we have time to do it, yeah. We only have two anyway.
So do we want to maybe start interviews next week, give this another week? Because when did it actually post, the position? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody post it? Or is it just word of mouth that's got people coming in and applying?
did we tell somebody to post it?
I thought that communication
local
had gone
let's
out.
Let's review local roads and the three record
I didn't
reporters.
Put anything out. The last time we got anything, the position was being written. The position description was draft and was being revised and written.
Let's settle that this week.
Can you and Adam
work
on that? And then who would you work with to post it? Is it typically the
board? I'll send it just to Tamitha. Okay. She can go to her.
Okay.
The sources that she needs.
Okay.
Glad we brought that up.
Well, it's good. We got two applications just on word of mouth alone.
Yeah.
So maybe posting it will actually get some more interest.
Yeah.
So, in the posting, though, it would be important to either say, I guess, based on whatever we decide, position open until filled or whatever.
No. Yeah, and I think it would be good for Adam for you to contact the two applications that we have received and say we'll probably be looking at setting up applications in the next 1 to 2 weeks or interviews in the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just so they understand that we've received their application, mm-hmm. that we are interested in doing interviews.
For both? You want to do both?
Well, I would assume, okay. but again, I haven't looked at both. I've only seen the first one that came in.
I would say, yeah, don't use up people's time interviewing somebody that's definitely not going to be qualified.
Okay, so maybe you and Lars can take a look at what's come in at the end of this week, if we get any more in this week.
Okay.
Kind of decide if we're at a place where we want to start interviewing next week, and then we'll follow the lead of you two.
When do you want to do that, Anna?
I would say probably Friday.
Morning?
Friday morning.
Early? 7:30?
If it's freezing rain, then probably not till 8 o'clock.
Okay.
If it's not, then 7 o'clock is fine.
All right.
And then we can just let the board know when you want to start interviewing. Okay. Do we want to talk about who's doing the interviewing? So I know Adam is, and Lars is the liaison. Do we want a third party involved?
Last time it was the chair of the board. When we did Randy's, it was myself, the liaison, and the chair of the select board that did it.
That was the past.
Either you or I could do it. So.
I'm going to have to look at my schedule, because honestly, next week is, I got senior night at hockey. I have to get ready for that. I got a lot going on at work, so I'll have to take a look at my schedule and let you guys know.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with any other select board member. If you're not available, I think any of us probably qualified to do
that. Next week's just a bad week because it's the last week of hockey in the regular season. So.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Any questions?
No. Do we actually need to make a motion to accept that letter?
Yeah. Do we? I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to make the motion?
I move we accept the letter of resignation from Brian Gibbs.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Welcome back to Ian.
No idea.
Do we want to write in there anything about the timeline of the letter in the minutes?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I go back.
We don't need
to
talk about it.
Well, I did when I introduced it.
Okay, right. Thank you.
I believe I said the dates and all that.
It'll be.
Maybe I didn't say effective one, but.
Okay, so I have a few additional items for signature that I've tucked in with the payroll warrants. The first one is the yearly payroll for town officials. Most of them are done through accounts payable. Some of them are done through payroll, depending on whether it's over the threshold where you have to take taxes out. So it gets complicated to try to, you know, put them all separate. So this is how I've done it in the past. And we do this year also have some that have been split, especially on the board. So I want to just take a look at that and see if you're comfortable with how I have it recorded. And it seems that Jerry's taken over doing the signatures, or maybe it's because you're still sick. But if it's permanent, then there's the form for that to have him be the designator.
Jerry's taken over.
Yay, Jerry.
For another 3 weeks. I know, it seems silly, but all I had was an email for the 1 week. So, and then there was an expense that was paid from the gravel pit escrow of $160 for permits that needs to be transferred from the checking account to cover transfer to the checking account. So there's authorization to transfer. Other than that, it's the regular signatures. And sorry for getting the financial reports out late. Just got them out today, so I don't know if you had a chance to look at them, but there's just a few things I wanted to point out. And then if you have any questions. So if you look at the
grant expenditures. We're currently at about $77,000 that's been put out towards different grant work, and we have had no revenue yet, as Adam spoke to, in terms of the checks back in. So just for your awareness, that's where we're at in terms of the cash flow at this point. I have created the two new account codes and separated out the temporary highway employees because I had been putting them under Kenny's account.
That's great.
So those are in there, and those are at about $2,000 at this point. I think you're aware, like, the legal service line item is...
Yeah, what is that?
Unavoidably over.
Yeah, unfortunately. Can I just take a peek at it real quick?
Yeah. I think those were the only things I wanted to draw your attention to, and if you had questions on any other aspects of the report.
Good deal.
Easy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. I don't see Eric for emergency management. Lars, anything you wanted to share with the board?
No, it's still floating on. Wait a minute. Public comment on the hazard mitigation plan. It's available on the emergency management website. If you want to look this thing over and see if there's anything that doesn't seem correct or needs clarification, send me or any one of the members of the emergency management group a question or a comment.
Brian, Planning Commission.
We had a public hearing on the zoning regulations last Thursday. It was lightly attended, but we got a fair amount of comment, and we're going to be going through that this Thursday at a special meeting. And if we don't wrap it up this week, we'll meet again probably in a week to finalize it. And my plan is to give it to you folks at your meeting in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I guess the only other thing I'll mention is that when we put that on notice back in January, that it was really Maureen who did the bulk of the work and deserves the credit for that. There's a lot of things you have to do to meet the public notice requirements. And that all went pretty smoothly.
Brian had it all figured out.
Thank you both. Did you keep those notes for when we need to do the hearing?
Green cards, I know what Bob has.
That office has never been more organized than it is right now.
Files have always existed, they just haven't been easy to find.
Yes. You need to know who authored it 15 years ago.
Anything else, Brian?
No.
Okay. Any questions for Brian? Thank you very much. Town Forest Committee. Do we have anyone
They
here?
Did have a meeting last week. That's all I know so okay. far.
All right. And future of the Gravel Pit Committee.
We have not had any meetings. I had a meeting with Susan Baird on Friday. Susan Baird is Act 250 with the state. It was a fun, lovely meeting with her, and I learned a lot. So I'm anxious. I was talking with Jeff before the meeting. I'm anxious to have our meeting probably early next week. Okay. So Mo is back from vacation. So.
All right. Any questions or comments? Jeff, anything to add?
No.
All right. Senior guidance request. I'm kind of lost and clueless on
That's
this one.
Okay. So Anne sent us an email from Senior Guidance, which is an organization dedicated to providing helpful senior living resources for the elderly. They have a dedicated section that provides extremely well-detailed and thorough information on Vermont assisted living. We would like to ask you to be added as one of the helpful resources on your page. senior guidance would be of tremendous value to your residents. So this is just, I think, an ask about whether or not we would like to post their website as a link on our website.
Yeah. That sounds what it is.
Has anybody checked out this organization and see if they're legit and like...
.org.
Anybody else familiar with senior guidance?
Never heard of them.
Nope, me neither.
You could call the Council on Aging. They might say, oh, they're helpful, or oh my God, run.
Don't listen. What?
Or the Center for Independent Living is also.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't heard from them, and I work in that agency at the state. It's news to me, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, they might, and chances are they're totally great and really helpful. And I think if we're going to put it on the website, that we probably want to make sure that it's not going to cause anybody any kind of
Does the town have a process by which we determine which links are put on and which aren't?
Well, you're sort of doing it now.
No, we just carried them. We carried over what was on there before, and this is the first new request. It's been United Church and the
off shelf.
Do you want to? Does somebody want to take this as an action item? Follow up and see
to follow up with Mia. I can do. Sure. I'm happy to look into the organization and then. Follow up, and then I'll let you know, Lars.
Okay. If we're going with it, then they can send a logo, and I can deal with that on the page.
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks for passing that along.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks, Anne.
All right. Now the item that everyone in this room has been patiently waiting for. Thank you for hanging in there. Camel's Hump Management Plan. So the board was approached... I think initially by Maxine Grad, our state representative, about concerns that had been escalated to her regarding the Camel's Hump Management Plan and a request to extend the comment period 6 months. She has met with and discussed the matter with the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation. He is willing to extend the comment period 30 days, or basically reopen the comment period, because the comment period is officially closed. He is willing to reopen it for 30 days, but he can't agree to a six-month extension. It was also asked the board to put this on the agenda for town meeting. The town report's already gone to publishing, so it's too late to do that. But I think, you know, from what I've received, and Maxine and I have gone back and forth on this, you know, I think the commissioner would be willing to have a public forum, if we so wished, to come in and sit down and talk with people and answer any questions they may have and certainly hear comments that they have. I thought about having him come tonight, but I was concerned that we wouldn't have the capacity for him and all of the residents to be in attendance tonight. I didn't think that, and I also thought it was a little short notice to try to get this on the agenda for tonight. So I think for tonight, the discussion really is for the board to hear the concerns of the residents, give you guys a chance to kind of tell us, because all I've really heard, other than a couple of emails that I think a couple people have sent to me, I think Andy and Marianne have both copied me in on a couple of emails, and then what Maxine and I have exchanged, I'm not fully, I don't feel like I fully appreciate what the concerns are. And then I think we would discuss, you know, listen to those comments and concerns and then look at the possibility of having that public forum, you know, scheduled. But I do think that we have to be mindful of the fact that I don't think the board is in a position to take a position one way or the other. I think we'll see how the conversation goes. I don't know that we can represent the full township by taking an official position, but certainly where we can facilitate conversations with the state, give you an opportunity to have a forum, make sure your voices are being heard, I do think that we can take that approach, and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. it's really hard to say what the state's timeline is too, because I'm so new to this. And so, you know, maybe being chair of the board for the last 6 months, I should be a little more up on all of the stuff going on. There seems like an awful lot in this town that we've been faced with this year. So, but having said that, I think unless the board has other questions they want to ask first, I would be willing to just open it up to the floor. I would ask people, raise your hands, and I'll call on you individually so we're not all talking over each other. It'll help us just kind of follow along. So who would like to?
Andy? Jerry has a letter from one of our neighbors that was. I know she sent an email.
I believe you still have that.
No, I gave it. I think I gave it to you. I didn't. I don't have it.
I don't have it.
Oh. Was it the one that was emailed around?
Maybe.
What was it?
Nancy Brennan.
Nancy Brennan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it.
That could be read tonight.
Oh. This is slow because there's no service here.
Nope, that's
it.
Oh.
Oh, never mind, I won't give you that one. No, that's not it.
What's her, is it Nancy Brennan in her email address or is it something else?
I have no idea, but.
Who is Colorado French?
That's Amy. It's my wife.
That's your wife. Okay.
She wrote a letter that she may want to read too.
Okay.
But she's very not political.
Okay, so let me start with her since that one came right up and I haven't found the other one yet. Basically, this is from your wife, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was addressed to Teresa Wood and the board. And I believe it was a letter that she had also sent to, was it the commissioner as well?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, hello, thank you for reading my letter. Flooding, mudslides, and increased cases of Lyme disease. I understand that our shared forest is to be managed for the enjoyment of all. As such, I have the following reservations, concerns regarding the current plan. Allowing 40-acre sites to be clear-cut will increase the likelihood of flooding and mudslides. As I am one of the residents who relies on Campbell's Hump Road to access my home, I am very concerned about the road not remaining passable. Hurricane Irene-like storms are only going to increase in frequency, even in winter, and endanger to all who rely on Campbell's Hump Road. Large logging trucks will further the degradation of the only road that provides access to our North Duxbury neighborhood. I am aware that these roads were built to accommodate logging, but as this wet area has been getting wetter, logging the area may have already become impractical. Cutting large areas is a health concern for all. It is the balance of the forest life itself that, when kept in check, helps to contain the spread of Lyme-carrying ticks. As a home health nurse, I witnessed the direct correlation between cases of Lyme disease and proximity to cleared areas. All citizen groups, whether they support no growth or they desire increased hunting, trapping, outdoor recreation opportunities, or logging, will be equally negatively impacted by water runoff if the trees that support the soil are diminished in significant numbers. The environmental impact and consequences that climate change presents, although acknowledged in the plan, have not been addressed in the proposal. More time is needed for a full environmental impact study to be completed, as historical data is not relevant in this era of rapidly changing weather patterns. It is likely that anything more than cutting narrow trails by hand will result in total devastation of hillsides and subsequently endanger lives. So that was the letter. And then Teresa Wood had responded to it and encouraged you to send it to the commissioner, which I believe you did. That's one letter. Let me see if I can find the other one.
I don't see the one from Nancy. I just went through the emails that had been sent out here. But
okay.
She said that there was one that was sent to the town.
Andy, there's an envelope on the floor a couple of chairs over. Is it possible that's it?
Over there.
It just happened to be in an envelope on the floor.
Ta-da! Wow.
Nice.
Good chair. Good work, Jerry.
Detective Jerry.
Detective Jerry.
All right.
So here is this letter to Duxbury Select Board, Maxine Grad State Rep, Michael Snyder, Commissioner, Forest Parks and Recreation, subject logging in Camel's Hump State Park, from Edward and Nancy Brennan, 861 Mountain View Drive, Duxbury, dated February 12th, 2018. We have recently learned that you plan to log 3,800 acres in the Camel's Hump State Park. We do not think this level of logging activity contributes to the goal of preserving the beauty, conservation value, wildlife, and fauna of this glorious park. As longtime residents near the end of Mountain View Road, more than 32 years of driving experience on these roads combined, we believe that the following risks and hazards would be severe. 1. To travel to the intersection of Camel's Hump Road through the planned route, a logging truck would be on private residential property and a private roadway. This seems highly inappropriate and should be a non-starter. 2. The steep public road, Mountain View Drive, features two turns that are equal or greater than 90 degrees and that, as such, are blind turns. The first of the turns is on a hillside. The second of them has a significant amount of uphill traffic that, to gain traction on their steep uphill, goes into the path of a downhill vehicle. Near misses at that turn are many. For cars, they are near misses. For a logging truck, they could spell fatalities. Third, the third turn as a truck goes downhill from the proposed logging site is a hairpin turn initiated on a steep hill, Scrabble Hill meeting Camel's Hump Road. The logging truck would be in danger of not making the turn and ending up in the path of other vehicles on Camel's Hump Road, or colliding with a guardrail or worse. Scrabble Hill Road, for example, is at best 1.5 lanes wide with an unaddressed landslide problem on the uphill slide of the road, and worse, there is an eroded section of the road that is dangerously unstable and marked currently with two orange cones. This section is not passable by two cars, and the drop on the downhill slide is anywhere from 30 to 150 feet. It is dangerous to navigate every day to the local residents. Even if there is repair made to the washout, the bank above that section of road is eroded and unstable and always subject to washouts. Then begins travel out Camel's Hump Road with its narrow, unmarked one-lane bridges, potholes, tight curves, and blind bends. This road is often frequented by visitors to Camel's Hump State Park who routinely drive oblivious to the hazards of the road. We further believe that regular frequent logging truck travel on this road network is not just ill-advised, but should not occur. The town cannot support the road network as it is, let alone adding damage from frequent heavy logging truck use. There is no justification for using this route to log such an extraordinary amount over many years. It would have dire consequences for the safety of Vermonters who live and visit here. Although one can imagine some selective logging in the park accomplishing some goals, the conservation value of an undisturbed natural forest is immense. Andy, do you know, did this go in the mail to Maxine and the commissioner as well, or?
I believe she emailed it
okay.
to them.
Okay. Maxine has asked that I follow up with her after tonight's meeting, so unless you think I should ask her, what I can do is scan this at work and email it to Maxine tomorrow, just to make sure she has it. Okay. So I think those are the two letters that we have. I don't think we have another one, but let me just double check.
I mean, there have been a lot of comment on next door and Front Porch
Front
Forum, maybe
Forum.
Too, but
mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's
I'm happy to talk while you're looking.
Sure.
Or you can
absolutely, you can address the board.
My name's Kara Caffarelli. I live at the bottom of Camel's Hump Road.
Kara.
So I have read the 114-page report. I can't pretend to understand a lot of it because it's very technical.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is, it might be a good plan. I think managed forestry is a good thing. I recreate in Camel's Hump State Park all the time. Some of the things that are proposed, I'd say, great, I'll use that.
Right.
But my concern is there's a lot that's not in there.
Mm.
There's just a lot of questions. And it sounds good, but it's all, like, intention. There's nothing really laid out. There's nothing that really says what the monitoring will be. The page about monitoring is like a page and a half in a 114-page report. It's a 25-year plan. It's a really long time.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, what if it's a disaster? And It doesn't say what the cost might be to the town. Certainly the road is a huge concern, with big logging trucks going up and down the roads. And ultimately, are we going to pay for that, ultimately, directly or indirectly? So I have a lot of questions. I feel like the Agency of Natural Resources is going to rule my life for the next 25 years, and that's kind of scary. And I don't know what the recourse is going to be if part of it is not good. So I think it'd be great to, it's great that they're willing to open up the comment period, but to have more say, and what are the towns, how do the towns get to have input throughout the life of this plan?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Kara. Andy?
Yeah, so there's a couple things here. One thing I want to address is that it is mandated, this has to be publicly vetted thoroughly. I'm afraid, just because when I realized how many people had no idea that this was going to happen until after January 15th, the public period was during the, it started the 27th of November, you know, during the Thanksgiving holiday, went through Christmas holiday, and so many people just totally missed it. One of the public meetings was during a blizzard that nobody really got to. I think the first one was not in this area. I don't feel it has been publicly warned enough. The fact that so many people, even the town of Duxbury, where this is happening, really didn't have any idea. And this is going to affect our town, not just the people who live here.
Right.
So for that reason, I would love to see the town formally ask for an extended period. Now, I know he's willing to do 30 days. 30 days is not enough. That's barely going to get us through town meeting. That's, you know, I mean, they need 30 days to get the word out there that this is what's happening. I feel that there are way too many unanswered questions in here. There is nothing to address the safety of those of us driving on our road. There is nothing to address the erosion, silt in the, you know, I mean, the damage to the roads. There's nothing to address when one of those trucks goes off the road. Well, we are one way in, one way out. Then what do we do? There's no emergency. There's no, we can't go to work. We can't. I have to tell you, and I'm going to do this one, and it's going to sound a little bit like not in my backyard, but I'm going to go from this place because this is what I know, and I'm living it, and I've been living it for almost 40 years. They want to come up the private section of Mountain View that's the last mile long. There's three of us families living on it, and they would, you know, they have an access through there. And they want to go across the brook, which goes, you know, I will tell you that there is still damage that's visible from when they logged 50 years ago. There's boulders been piled up. There's roads been cut in. There's ditches. Where they go across the brook, you can see the damage still to the brook. You can see where they use skidders. It's a very, and I'm talking only about Lot 5. Does anybody need a map? I do have a few with me. I don't know if you guys want
to. Another one.
So what I'm specifically talking about is Lot 5, which is, I don't have my glasses. Yes, I do. Okay, so we're upside down. Let's see. Where's
there's Camel? Four.
That's Bolton. We're coming up Camel's Hump. So I live right here. So this is Lot 5. This is what is my front yard. And this is behind us. So I'm going to just talk about Lot 5 because I know those words.
Okay, everyone, one person at a time, please.
Andy, do you have a spare?
Yes.
Sorry. Anybody else?
You know, I can just address... Don't get me flustered. You know, this is what I know personally. And I know this, that's a, you know, only a small section of what's going to be logged. Up Camel's Hump Road scares the daylights out of me, too. If they are traveling on our private road, and I invite any one of you to come to my house, Aaron can tell
me. I've been there.
Okay? It is a one-lane road with a 14% grade. Adam knows. There's no possible way a logging truck can come down our road with any safety to us at all. I mean, it comes down the steep hill and around a corner, and I mean, it's just not. When the state was given access to log there 50 years ago, there were no homes on Mountain View. There were no homes on anywhere up there. I think Brooks's house was wasn't. So there are now. Just 1 mile from the bottom of Mountain View to my house, there's 21 families living on that road. 21 families driving cars with teenagers driving cars, driving cars with their kids in the back seat. That's just on Mountain View. Scrabble Hill, there's another 50.
Jeffrey said 32 past our house.
Yeah, 32 more homes. We're talking, I don't think the state is looking at that. That this is no longer, I mean, I look at this where it says our road is low access, low use. I don't think they realize. So it's not just a matter of another 30 days for public input. We need to have someone really take a look at this and say, this is safe to do. And I can tell you that the hillside, you know, that my house faces that they want to log, there's really very little timber. It's a very steep north-facing hill with a huge amount of water. And anybody that lives up there knows we have water all over up there. As they take those trees down and that water is coming down, we are going to have so much silt in our brook, and that goes right down into Ridley Brook. And this is just one small section of what they're doing.
So this stuff in gray, shaded in gray, is where they intend to log. That's what they're considering the Camel's Hump Management Unit.
The ones with the lines.
The slashes.
Oh, really?
And the numbered areas.
Yeah, okay. All of these and all of those.
Yeah. The gray area, that's all the state park. So when they say, oh, we're only logging a very small percentage of the state park, that may be true. But most of that state park is Camel's Hump, and they can't touch it. But they still are doing 3,000 acres. And that does not include, but will include, the land that was just given to Duxbury off of Ward Hill.
Yeah. Interesting.
Could I add one point about that?
Sure.
There's also the Vermont Natural Resources Council wrote a response to this plan, if you haven't seen it. And they're in favor of a lot of it and say that there's good things about it, but one thing that they do really highlight is it represents a threefold increase in the rate of timber harvesting, and they ask for an explanation from the state of the rationale for such a huge increase.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the town does need to take a stand, because this is going to really affect our roads. For 15 years, they're going to be logging. Not only the safety, but, you know, the wear and tear on our roads, the heavy equipment. Who's going to pay for that? You know, and none of that is addressed in this plan at all. None of it.
The day-to-day, too, for the individuals who live on the mountain actually have to get off to work. Once Scrabble Hill is closed because a truck goes off the edge, takes them 5-6 days to get it out of the gully. Nobody goes to work. We have no income. We're poor to start out with. And all of a sudden, my wife's a nurse. If she doesn't go to work, we don't have health care. If she's stuck in the house because we can't get out, we lose everything. And we're just family.
And you might count on the fact that there are a lot of elderly folks, like myself, I'm 80. 81, very shortly, who've lived up there for a long, long time. And what if we need an ambulance?
Yeah.
What if we need
a fire truck?
What, you know?
What are we doing about the school bus?
What are we doing
That's
about
not
the school
addressed.
Bus? And there are children who walk these roads.
They walk up Scrabble Hill.
The kids behind
the
them
stuff.
Walk
yeah,
up Scrabble
I mean,
Hill and walk a good mile and a half to get home. And these are little kids. Second, third, fourth, fifth grade.
I mean, there's a lot that needs to be answered here, and I don't think the state has delved into it enough to understand the safety issues, the damage it is going to do to the environment. That lot 5, that is going to be a disaster, and that's visible from Campbell's Hump. That's what people up there are going to see. It's not a good quality of it's a what's called group selection, and that's not a good way to log. There's just so many things.
So I can't, I can't recommend that the board take any action tonight, but what I could offer is that I'm willing to follow up with Maxine, see if we can schedule that public forum, ask that the commissioner keep the comment period open until that public forum can occur, so that he has an opportunity to meet with everyone. But I think we're going to be very hard-pressed to get a six-month extension. So I would not hold your breath on that. I think 30 days, maybe a little longer, because town meeting's right around the corner, and he knows that everybody's going to be tied up with that as well, is probably the best you can hope for at this point. But if we get a meeting scheduled, that means everybody here and your neighbors need to attend that meeting, because it will be your one opportunity to voice your concerns and get him to answer your concerns on the floor. And then I think he has to take into consideration your feedback, VNRC's feedback. I think we as a board can discuss, you know, what concerns we have. I mean, one question I have is about the roads. I mean, have they reached out to our road foreman, who's out on the phone at the moment, but have they reached out to him and offered any maintenance of Camel's Hump Road? Has there been any infrastructure conversations? I mean, I think as a board, hang on one sec, as a board, those are questions we can ask. I can't, right now, I can't take a position because I don't have enough facts. I hear what you're saying, and you've raised questions in my mind that I didn't have before tonight. So I think there are definitely a lot more questions than answers tonight that we need to explore. Because you're correct. If we have to shut down roads, or we then have to widen roads, or we have to do extra maintenance on that road because of increased truck traffic, we have a very finite budget as it is. We already have some major infrastructure issues we're dealing with in the next 1 to 2 years. We also now have this municipal roads general permit program that we have to comply with, which requires, you know, specific maintenance of erosion control areas across the town that the state's now mandating that we have no choice but to work on. So there are a lot of financial implications. So I do think we need to have a better understanding of that before, at least personally, I don't feel I can take a position until I have answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if others on the board have similar thoughts.
I was going to say it may be worth it to reach out to Bolton and Huntington, who are both impacted here, to their chairs and see what kind of where they're at. Because if
the River Valley is concerned too.
Yeah. Because if we can talk to their boards and I've kind of come to a consensus to ask for an extension, if that's
mention that, because my sister is Teresa Wood, and she was at the Huntington meeting, and logging and the roads were their biggest concern.
Yeah.
She said, and she's been to my house, obviously.
Sure.
She's like, you think your road is bad and tricky. These roads that they're proposing to be on in Huntington are in worse shape than we're in.
Yeah.
So maybe as communities joining together, we have a good...
If we offer a forum and invite those other towns to bring people as well.
That maybe we could...
Yeah. I mean, it's clear to me. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, posting it in November through the holidays and snowstorms and low attendance. I mean, obviously that happens as a matter of living in this state, but I admit maybe it's ignorance on my part and I was too busy dealing with other issues. I wasn't aware of the public notice period either.
You know,
no, it's surprising that they didn't contact the board.
Well, there was some, you know, we have a mailbox on Scrabble Hill Road that's for like 13 houses. It was never posted on that board. Mm-hmm. We never knew until it was too late.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dave, were you going to make a comment?
Yeah, I'm going to break my no talking rule. I'm going to unique opportunity to raise the ire of just about every single person in this room. As you know, the town has been going through review of the zoning regulations. Mm-hmm. This has been a process that has been going for over a year. And every single person in town has had the opportunity to go to these meetings and provide input for over a year. And probably in aggregate, less people that are in this room right now have gone to all those meetings. They've all been noticed. I'm not going to comment on the merits of the plan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about the procedure. I learned about this plan in the public notice period in Exit 10 or the Waterbury Record late summer, early fall. It was publicly noticed. Everybody in this room has had an opportunity to participate in those public meetings. They've had the opportunity to what I have done with the zoning, which is attend the meetings and actually get a petition to see how many people supported my views, to provide that information to the board. The board in the zoning has got to work to a reasonable schedule and be able to close out their activities, mm-hmm. as the state does with this.
That's true.
The period has passed, so I am really reticent to have this select board petition to open up a process which has been closed out after a duly notified time. You can't continue forever baiting these arguments. And clearly Doug and Brian don't want to hear me debate any more than I'm allowed to in the next few years.
I'm really going to miss it.
But it's a case of put up or you shut up.
Yeah.
And you just can't go forever. And you can't say, I didn't know about it. It's your responsibility to know about these things.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair statement.
And that's my opinion.
Yep. Well, and I think the fact that the commissioner is entertaining reopening it for 30 days is I think should be viewed by everyone in this room right now as, I'm going to lose my train of thought. But
like kind of going
good faith, a show of good faith. I mean, he's willing to listen. If he were going to go by procedure, as Dave puts it, he would be telling us that he would tell Maxine, I'm sorry, the public comment period is closed. And to your point, David, it probably was publicly warned, as you stated. I don't read the Waterbury Record as much as I should, because I get too many emails to keep up with as it is. But that's not an excuse. That's just my reality. So I think, you know, I hear you and I agree. You're right. We should all do our due diligence to read our public notices and participate in the local government and the state government as those procedures lay out. In this case, the offer has been made. I can follow up with Maxine. Brian?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can follow up with Maxine and see if the commissioner is still willing to come in and meet with people, but then I think we all have to be prepared to, that's it, and then we've set our piece, and we have to let the process play out as it may. And clearly, we're not going to be the only ones having comments, so he's been to Huntington, you know, Bolton, other towns have probably had their own public comment periods, whether they were well attended or not, I don't know. And I'm not saying that we should wait to let those other towns fight our battles for us, but you know, I don't know what the full compilation of feedback has been that the commissioners receive. So,
I do say that it. Oh, sorry, Lars. I was out of order.
Can I take a poll of who attended the public meeting?
Two. There were two here in town.
Yeah, I attended the first.
I attended both.
And during the public meeting, it was the public meeting was the best expenditure of tax dollars I've seen in a long time. It addresses all the things that you would have wanted. There were tables set around the entire auditorium with the maps for each specific type of activity, logging, wildlife. And at each table, there were specialists to answer any question that anybody could think of. Roads, tree density. The thing was, it was just really well thought out. So this plan has been ongoing since 2011. It didn't come down with last week's snowfall. It's been rolling and developing all this time. I moved to this area. At first I skied in Honey Hollow, and I was skiing by skidders. And I said, what about that? Then when we decided to find a place, we knew this was a multiple-use park. And I knew I'd been skiing past skidders. We have been having the history of Duxbury is a history of logging. There have been guys who've skinned the hillsides, and those are the places where a lot of you are living now. And then as logging evolved, there's been management. Some loggers are good, some loggers are bad, but one thing for sure, if the staff is stuck at their desks redoing plans, they're not going to be able to be in the field monitoring stuff. Logging just didn't happen now. Since I've been up here 31 years, logging has happened at least six times on Camel's Hump Road, and it's hell on the roads. It's very hard on the roads. And that's something I've always been concerned of, and that's why we have to, why we stand in line for grants, and we make these requests, and the state puts in all these funds and makes it available to communities. It's the part about logging that is so difficult is if it's in your area, and it's been in my area twice, close by, you listen to the chainsaws and the whine of hydraulic pumps for months. Just goes on and on every morning, except on the weekends. Then it goes away. It's not pleasant, but it's part of the culture and the life of Vermont to have the woods operating. Are log trucks dangerous? Yeah. In the 30 years I've been here, there hasn't been a truck on its side on the road blocking anyone from... There have been cars in the road. There have been Subarus blocking the road. But there haven't necessarily been logging trucks blocking the road. They're big. They're dangerous. You got to keep your eyes open. But the drivers tend to know a lot more about driving than the person in the Subaru handling these things down the grades. To address the part about school buses, the logging contractors have only certain times they can move this stuff. And it's not when school buses are coming. It's early and late. I had a complaint about a job. Parking. Parking is one of my things. I've had a complaint about this, and I went to the forester and I said, this is what's happening. Can you get this truck out of the way and tell them to park it somewhere else? And they responded. But you have to be active. You have to go and say something. because we're all flawed and we're all going to have some stuff to deal with that gets in the way of other people. It's tough. Logging is tough. I've seen really good job across from my place. If you go across to the winter parking lot, then down the access road, and up that access road, you're going to see a good job. You're going to see windfall. You're going to see some stumpage left over, but it's generally clean. Logging is messy. But one of the things about logging is it replaces fire for creating habitat. Now, if you want to rule out logging entirely, then it does help create habitat and succession. And we're in a period of succession. If you have an area cleared, that provides some area for succession plants that don't normally grow here but will to go up. It's hard. Logging is hard. It's messy. It's generally messy. It's not nice to look at. We may have a chance. You may have a chance to comment about this. But you really missed a great presentation where many of your questions could have been answered clearly and pictorially. And it's our responsibility to get on these things when they come up and deal with them.
So, Lars, based on your participation, though, in that, are you able to answer all those questions? Was there any documentation that came out of those hearings that might...
I understand.
I just don't like being scolded. For me, I'm just starting to get involved in the community because I have been a slave to a business. So tonight was my first night
I'm giving my opinion of what I've been through.
I felt like I was being a little scolded, and I want to be more involved, and so... I do think 30 days is very generous, and like you said, and I think I said in my email to people, I understand the process, mm-hmm. and that things have to evolve, but I truly didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
So,
I get that.
I have a sister for a state representative, and I didn't have a clue, so I'm just saying I'm doing my best to get involved, that's why I'm here.
I don't think anybody was being scolded. I mean, Dave's and Lars's comments, I think, were more about the process and just reminding us all. I mean, I'm just as much at blame.
Jeffrey was on the zoning board for Waterbury for how many years? I get it.
In answering your question to me about...
Yeah. Were there like
my questions were answered there. The document, as was pointed out, is kind of dense. It's a kind of dense thing to look at. When you accumulate all these acres and they come out to 3,000, it seems like heavy.
So Brian has a comment, but maybe I'll ask Brian, having worked with A&R before you retired, do you know, like, after they have a public hearing like this, do they update those documents and have a revised?
Yeah, the plan right now is it was a draft plan. It was put out for public comment,
mm-hmm.
And they solicited written comments. I understand they got over 500 written comments, mm-hmm. so 500 people
mm-hmm.
had something to say, and they had. I think it was four hearings. They had two here in Duxbury and one in Huntington and maybe one in Bolton.
Payson. I think one was in Payson.
With it. And so now they closed the comment period back in the middle of January. And so now they take all that and they revise the plan and come up with a final version. And that's, ordinarily, that's what they'd be doing now. And addressing comments. And I expect that what they will also do is they'll come up with a final plan. There'll be an accompanying document that's called a response to comments.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And they will list the comments. And, you know, with 500 comments, some of them would be very similar, and they'll kind of mash them together, and then they'll write a response. And, you know, that's a good comment. We change the plan in this way, or this is how we address that issue, and or explain if they didn't make a change, why they didn't do it. But I think, you know, Commissioner Snyder is seems to be accommodating. He's offered 30 days. I suggest you, through Maxine or directly, thank him for that opportunity and talk about scheduling a meeting. I suggest you do it down at the school.
Yeah.
And take it from there.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want him here tonight. This wasn't big enough, and you might have more neighbors or maybe somebody from Bolton or Huntington.
It would be productive to have him here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And usually the final plan, that's like it, or is there another comment period that comes with that?
Well, typically that's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like Laura said, you know, you can't drag these things off forever.
Yeah, understood. Or we'd never get anything done, and it's hard enough to get things done in state government, so.
With that 2011, Laura's started working on this.
Yeah.
These things take a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of work, and it's a bunch of people.
Right. Okay. So, Tamitha?
Yeah, I was just going to... So, I had two thoughts. I was going to ask Lars, because I thought that was the meeting that you went to, that I actually thought everyone had come for my PTO meeting, and it turned out to be for this. I was like, look at all these cars! So, it was not for the Crossover Brook PTO meeting. So, I was going to ask you to talk about that. But then I also would say that as a select board, considering the probable impacts of this on our roads, on our assets, that it does have a bearing for us in that way. And why the town wasn't notified officially. I don't know, Adam, has anyone talked? No. So,
well, I'm wondering, though, because this started in 2011, the town may have been notified by previous boards. I mean, there may have been engagement with previous boards. So I don't think we necessarily want to say the town wasn't notified. But,
maybe we could learn, not right now, but maybe we could learn a little bit about what the procedure is to notify towns.
If it's just the regular public notice, and that's right. What it is. Mm-hmm.
They do have a mailing list, email list, and you can get on the email list.
Okay.
And you get updates whenever there's anything.
And in these meetings, these various and sundry and many meetings that we have for the stormwater and other things, these considerations are raised. I think Adam can verify that I raised the possibility of getting funds for roads that have high traffic.
Yes, with Act 64, which is affecting the town, there are grants for us to apply for and all that, but not every town is going to get money. But there is grants for that. And the loggers are going to have to follow a lot of that Clean Water Act as well.
Yep.
That's not just towns, it's farmers, it's logging, it's, you know, town, all that stuff. They have the same rules, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. We've dealt with logging up there before. We've dealt with log trucks. They logged up by you, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
2011 and 12. And then they went up, they did that 20 acres, and then they did a further one up toward Maroney Brook. A different outfit each time.
You know, we just, I don't know how to say it because I don't want to start anything, but there is a cost effect to the town.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Just like what happened on Cross the Hill where we shut down the road because they were destroying the road when they clear cut up on, when the company did up on Dublin Road.
Yep.
You know, the highway department will be up there more with the grader. Or if it's in the wintertime, I don't know when this is all going to happen, but if it's in the wintertime, we have to be up there more for sanding to make sure the trucks and can meet people and not slide out of control or whatever. So.
Yep. So I think this gentleman had a comment, and then Andy.
What concerns me is, this goes back to 2011, I'm a new resident here. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason I didn't know about it is because I've only been here for 8 months. And it's just a struggle to figure out how to live here. What concerns me, knowing that this has been going on since 2011, why this seventh draft does not address any of the concerns mm-hmm. that seem so poignant to logging on these steep mountains. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense that this was actually, there was, seems to me, that anybody was really concerned about who lives here. Mm-hmm. It's almost so that when they put the plan together, they're still thinking, there's nobody here. Mm-hmm. Nobody lives here. We've done this before and nobody lived there. Just the way I feel about it. Mm-hmm. It disturbs me that my government and the Parks Department seems to have so little concern about the people that live doing this stuff. And I, honestly, I'm recently from the West Coast and the Pacific Northwest. I can't even see any value in these trees. Mm. It doesn't make any, they're 45 years old. They're spindly little things. What are they going to do with these 3,500 acres of
I think it's
dust?
More to clear it out so that, you know, you don't have a lot of underbrush to prevent fires and to give new growth. But
there's none of that in the paper. Right. That's what they're talking about. Mm. You know, now, I've lived in the East Coast. I'm an East Coaster, and I've seen how trails are done in the Adirondacks, and I think the whole idea of, you know, doing things for activity in the forest and bringing people closer to this planet is a great idea, but bulldozing it ain't the way to do it.
Right.
That's just my thinking on it, because I've seen how people do it in Adirondacks, and that's an amazing park. Mm-hmm. People going by hand. There's no trucks. And it can be done.
Okay. Well, thank you. Andy?
And I just want to, you know, we aren't against logging, per se. And we've been dealing with logging up here. I've been here longer than Mars, even. And we've had logging trucks before. But what we have to think about is this is a 263% increase. Mm. That's big.
Yes, sir.
So an avenue that the town and the select board could pursue and is done quite commonly would be to request the A&R in the contracts of the loggers post the maintenance bond for the roads.
Maintenance plan for the roads?
Bond.
Bond. Oh, bond.
Part of the contract.
That is a good idea.
Well, anybody with an overweight permit has to have proof of insurance for our roads just every day of the week.
Hmm. But that's a little different than bonding for maintenance of a road.
Yeah. But
right,
if
the insurance provides us with their insurance company and all that.
If they cause damage, we can.
If they drive off the road,
have
we can make them liable.
Yeah. They have to pay for it for us to change it.
And that's standard.
Brian?
I just want to point out that you know, logging takes place elsewhere in Duxbury on private land, and any standard that I think the town sets, you know, any standard the town expects the state to meet for logging on state land should not just apply on state land, but should apply
on private land as well.
Everywhere.
I was going to say, the people that have been doing it on Ward Hill have done a very good job.
I was going to say, they've been logging for years.
I don't know who it is or anything, but they've done very good at controlling runoff, and, you know, and they're doing a lot of property out there, from what I understand.
Yeah, they're doing a good work. I don't have any complaints, but...
Yeah. Ward Hill is a pretty nasty road. I mean, I understand it's a little wider, but it's pretty steep.
Yeah.
Okay. It's about 10 of 8, so one more comment.
Where can I get a copy of this wonderful report that
the plan?
The whole thing that you were talking about. Yes.
If you just Google Camel's Hump Management Plan, it'll come up.
Okay. So
I'll give you a copy.
Great. Thank you. I
want to
read it.
You can print it in color. It's helpful.
Yeah, I got
it. All right. Well, thank you all very much for coming in. This was good for us to hear as a board. And we'll keep you posted on developments as we go forward. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So you'll contact the other towns?
Yeah, I'll reach out to the other select board chairs, see what they're...
Because we only have 30 days, it'd be great if everyone would see.
Yeah, and I'll follow up with Maxine and see what we can do about that public forum.
So yeah. I think it is. I'm not highly attached to it.
Yeah. Well, let's
continue. All right. Are we ready to move on?
Do it.
So, Harwood Union Unified School District letter.
Thanks,
Adam. So, this letter was sent to the select board from the Harwood Unified Union School District Board. Okay, excuse me. We're trying to get on. People listening to the recording won't be able to hear us. So this is a letter to Governor Scott and the Vermont Legislature, basically from the school board. And it's rather lengthy, but I'll read through some of it and then get right to the chase. Basically, it says, we have a problem that requires your immediate attention. When the citizens of Duxbury faced in Moortown, Waitsfield, Warren, and Waterbury voted to create the Harwood Unified Union School District under the Act 46 accelerated merger process, they were led to believe, based on incentives created by our elected Vermont legislators, that their tax rate would rise no more than 5% per year during our five-year incentive period. This is no longer true. The Harwood Unified Union School District began its Act 46 journey in the spring of 2015, when representatives from the then Washington West Supervisory Union member districts boards traveled to the Vermont Superintendents Association offices in Montpelier to meet with VSA representatives, as well as those from the Vermont School Boards Association, Vermont Principals Association, and the Vermont Agency of Education. As we learned about the path that had been set for us by the Vermont legislature, we explained the nature of the historical local opposition to merger in our towns. These protestations were dismissed by the government representatives at the table. We were told that we had little choice in the matter and that if we couldn't complete the work, it would be done for us. This account will likely be denied by any person there acting on behalf of our state government. However, to help make our work easier and to ease the pain, we'd be able to promote the plan to our constituents with the slate of incentives laid out in Act 46 and described in Agency of Education and Vermont School Board Association training materials. These incentives included tax rate reductions, grant accessibility, and a 5% hold harmless provision on tax increases for our new district's first five years of operation, among others. Having had our first learning around the carrot and stick approach Montpelier had adopted on the merger issue, we agreed to the incentives plan. Who would predict that almost immediately Montpelier would get to work undermining the difficult job being performed by our local boards? The work that our WWSU study committee undertook over the ensuing year was challenging for many reasons. We relied on educational information and materials that came to us from the Vermont School Board Association and Agency of Education, as well as the Vermont School Board Association supplied and taxpayer-funded consultants to help chart the course of our work, inform our decision-making, and in turn help educate and persuade our local constituents who would ultimately give our proposal their stamp of approval. Our success depended on enormous hours of hard work from elected volunteers who wanted to make sure that our students had the best opportunities going forward, our local board representatives. Once those in Montpelier delivered a mandate, they washed their hands and walked away from the challenge. Jump forward 18 months, and we are now a fully operational unified union school district. With little guidance, our first year of work as a board was notably rough and challenging, but that difficult first budget season produced savings for our taxpayers and the knowledge that together we could do more for our children brought reward. There had been truth in what we had told our constituents about being able to ensure a higher quality education as a unified group rather than individual districts. Since that time, there have been other instances when we have seen the benefits that unification has brought. However, while we were laboring to ensure the greatest promise for our local system, those in Montpelier were working to recapture some of the savings we were trying to deliver at the local level. The savings in our locally negotiated teacher contracts would be mandated and would not stay local. Fortunately, legislated efforts to cap spending and growth, which had been undertaken well after the close of budget season, did not come to fruition and undo all the hard work we had done. However, the certainty hasn't ended, as Governor Scott had made yet another slate of recommendations that undermine the work of local boards and citizens. Despite the shifting landscape, we've continued to move forward with the best interests of our students and taxpayers in mind. The budget that we have approved will bring to our communities on town meeting day raises general fund educational expenditures by only 2.4%, and our education spending per equalized pupil goes up just 2.1%, both within the suggested cap of 2.5% from the governor. This is despite a shortfall at the state level and steep double-digit increases in health care premiums. But due largely to changes in the yield by the tax commissioner, a 2.1% increase in education spending is currently projected to result in a 7% increase in the equalized tax rate. 7%, not the 5% promised as part of the merger. So it kind of goes on and on about the back and forth. Basically says, the next phase of our work sees us contemplating the redesign opportunities presented to us by unification. It is only by confronting the continued challenges we face that we can realize our Act 46 goals of equity, excellence, efficiency, accountability, and affordability that drew support for our merger in the first place. In order to deliver on those promises, we need the cooperation and support of Montpelier. We have a budget to bring to our taxpayers. So any requests, mandates, laws, or agreements reached now through the end of the 2018 legislative session are already too late. Our taxpayers should be made whole. Please don't change anything else at the last minute. That's basically where it ends. So the gist of the letter is the board is pretty vocally disagreeing with the State House and the governor's office, and putting all of the town boards notice that we're looking probably at a 7% increase in the equalized tax rate, which I don't yet understand what the implications are in the overall tax rate, but I think it's something that our taxpayers should be aware is coming as part of town meeting. So that was just to put it on notice, make it a part of the official record. We can post it with the minutes, so you can have this if you want, Tamitha, and I think I have it electronically still. Just to educate our taxpayers as we come into town meeting that this may be coming. So there isn't much we can do about it.
And that the whole push for our board to unify quickly was to take advantage of the promise of 5%.
Yeah.
And they're going back on that.
They're going back on that, yep.
And that's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a lot of things happening at the state level right now that I think are very much going to come back down to the local level and cause a lot more complication for us. So, you know, you have, you know, land management plans, MRGP, Act 46. You've got the whole, who knows where this teacher negotiations is going to go. I mean, it got very ugly last year between the state and the teachers. It could go that way again this year. Maybe next year. I mean, it's hard to predict. There's also debate going on at the State House currently about law enforcement still. Let's see. So the Senate Government Operations Committee this week continued its discussion on S-273, a bill that makes sweeping changes to various aspects of how law enforcement and public safety are structured and operate. The good news is part of what they were debating was whether or not towns were going to be forced to create their own law enforcement, police forces. Mm-hmm. This kind of all bubbled up in the special meeting that the town of Waterbury had where they voted and approved to expend $350,000 in a contract with the state police. Well, this bill, had it gone through the way it was proposed, would have made that impossible. Because it would not have allowed towns to contract with the Vermont State Police. This week's testimony included the scope of state police duties and whether or not the state should allow municipalities to contract with them for law enforcement services. Both municipal officials and members of the state police testified that they were opposed to limiting the scope of state police duties as well as preventing municipalities from contracting with them. VLCT agrees that municipalities should be allowed to contract with agencies for law enforcement coverage if they wish. So it's gone back into debate, and they'll continue working through the bill. likely start to decide what sections of the bill will remain, what amendments need to be made to ensure its passage. So the good news is that they are going to allow for the contracting to continue, but who knows what other changes may come out of that. So between that and this educational stuff, I think this board and any boards that follow us just need to be prepared for continued pushback at the state level to make the towns take on more responsibility, which will just inflate our budgets. I mean, that's the bottom line. So taxpayers should be prepared. I don't think it's kind of like kicking the can back and forth. It's hot potato. Who wants to be responsible for the tax rate, the state or the local level? And no matter which way you go, the taxes are going to go up. And the taxpayers are going to pay for it. So I think at some point, municipalities need to push VLCT to be a stronger advocate for us at the State House when it comes to those types of debates. And I mean, I think they have been there this year. There's been a couple of different things discussed at the State House recently where they were, I think, good advocates for us, but we just need to keep that pressure on them. So, any questions or comments on that?
Nope.
All right, exit interview update.
Yep, so I held an exit interview with Brian Gibbs on his last day of work, which was February 2nd. It's a standard policy in the places that I've worked that you do an exit interview with somebody to just kind of understand any suggestions, feedback, context that they have to provide about their time at that in that position of employment.
Thank you both.
Thank you. So that was, as I said, held on the 2nd of February, and you know, we talked about the tools, resources, training, equipment that have been available, which he said overall were actually really good, brought up some concerns about, you know, the relationship with the road crew and the select board overall, and how that kind of cycles every year as a new select board comes in and have all these grand good ideas about how they want to do things, and then as they settle in, how that happens, and express that that is a challenge for the road crew on an annual basis. Had some feedback about the management of the department and supervision as well. So, yeah, overall, though, he said he had really enjoyed working with the town and was very grateful for the high level of equipment that we have, too.
Okay. Thanks, Erin.
Thank you.
All right, town administrator position description.
So I sent this to everybody. I only have one copy if anybody wants to look at it. But made some changes based on the last conversation that we had had as a group. And knowing that this, we're looking at budget-wise, this to be a part-time position rather than a full-time position, we had talked last time about whether or not it would be possible even for in a part-time role to have all the responsibilities that we previously had listed there. So after a lot of kind of thought and going back and forth through the other job descriptions of an administrator on a part-time level in other towns where they generally do not have supervisory experience or supervisory responsibilities, and also looking at the descriptions and the duties that we have already covered by both our town clerk and our town treasurer. I did make some adjustments and remove the supervisory responsibilities as well as most things to do with the budgets. There's still language in there about working in coordination with the town treasurer, but the parts about like advising about the budget and things like that, removed kind of all of those pieces.
I went on today too and made some comments just where there were some sentences that still seem to kind of deal with supervision that I think we should change.
And I looked through and I looked through this I think before this one, and I think Stacy is right that that like encouraging professional development would go to supervisory, right? So
I think there was something in there about coordinating professional development, but maybe we changed that from encouraging. Yeah. Because I could see that person being the one that knows what training classes are available
and shepherding that out
and kind of
like Anne
sure
does now,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but encouraging is different.
Yep, agreed.
What are you laughing at, Lars?
Well, God knows.
What are you chuckling about
but
up there?
I think it would behoove us to reduce this a lot. and simplify it to the barest of bones that allows it to stand, because it's a part-time position.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there for a part-time person to do. I think.
I mean, it's articulate and mm-hmm. it's be great, but
I think you kind of get overwhelmed, but like knowledge, skills, and ability, like I think if we just look right there, so there are administrative duties, there are financial duties, which are really around the grant opportunities,
mm-hmm.
And then others is in partnership, the other financial duties are in partnership with town treasurer. The public relations work is just being responsive to complaints. And then policy and law, which, Stacey, you had some to take out of there as well.
Yeah.
So that this person wouldn't be the conduit between town attorney, but that it should
that
be
should
the
still be the select board, not the town administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there.
Let's see if I can handle that editing software. It gets a little spider.
I think I agree with the be informed about legal proceedings, etc. I think we could take the other one out too. Like, we could certainly have this person. I'm really seeing this, honestly, as looking more and more like an assistant to the select board rather than a town administrator.
So you have to take it down a notch, because otherwise you're really looking for somebody with a degree in business or public administration.
Right.
They're going to be few and far between.
So if we...
For part-time.
Right.
I'm an MPA.
I don't want
this job. So I think as we, if we go through this once more and reduce these responsibilities, then we may want to consider at town meeting making a change to the title of that on the budget. Because on the budget it says town administrator.
Well, let's see how it sugars off.
Right.
Let's see how it
sugars. That's what I'm saying. We may want to make that change.
Because I think the thing is to build toward that. So I would hate to have us... It feels limiting to change the title of the job.
But most of the things that we're having this person do are not really town administrator things. It's definitely more in line with what I'd seen of job descriptions of assistants to the select board.
So really, we discussed this earlier, that it really should be a full-time position, but we're going to have to try to ease into it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we want to, probably want to have some kind of language about possible expansion of duties or something.
Which way are we going?
I think the real tipping point here is if you're taking responsibility like supervision and the budget and all of that,
mm-hmm.
you're not talking about an administrator. An administrator is somebody that you've given the authority to go and do those things.
Right.
If you're not granting that authority, then they're not really an administrator. They are, to Aaron's point, an assistant to the select board. So, if you're going to... Because then you're just creating another... It's like shooting the messenger. You're putting them in the middle of everything, but not really giving them any authority.
Mm.
So you have to look at it one way or the other way. You're either going to hire an assistant to the select board, or you really want a town administrator. And then I think you need to... I don't think we need to make it all flowery. I think you could take Moortown's job description and plug that in. They're a part-time town administrator. Or Warren's town administrator, their job description, and that's your job description. You just changed the title of the town. But
I think that's what you did, right?
I went through all of those and kind of pulled together the different parts.
Yeah, but I'm saying I wouldn't even do that. I'd pick the one that closest matches what you want to do, and that's your job description. If it's a part-time town administrator... You have another town that has a part-time town administrator. You're trying to blend multiple towns' descriptions of a town administrator. Pick one that most closely matches what you're looking for and just go with that to start, and then you can expand on it later when you want it to go full time. But if you're trying to get the best of everything in a one job description, this is that to me is a full time town administrator job.
Mm-hmm. Job description. Which is what we kind of started with. So.
But it really is
my
even,
suggestion.
But this is even, so this is like a fourth draft, right? Mm-hmm. We've pared this down mm-hmm. from like the ideal full-time town administrator mm-hmm. position. And if you go through here, it's lengthy, but if you go through here and read it, it isn't stuff that takes a lot of time. So I think if we continue to pare out the things that have to do with evaluation and maintenance of personnel, the supervision related mm-hmm. duties, I think we're almost there.
I don't know about taking out, I see taking out evaluation. I think I might leave though maintenance of personnel records.
So why would you give them access to confidential personnel records if they aren't supervising?
They have access to, I mean, that's other things in here require confidentiality. We don't have to. But I'm saying, like, who's going to come in and when they sign their personnel policy, make sure it's in their record? Who's going to make sure that all those things are lined up?
That's the treasurer already that mm-hmm. you're getting paid for, and she facilitates it all the way to the insurance company and everything else.
When she sets up the personnel files right now.
So you're just adding another layer that may or may not be helpful.
And I think, like, eventually, if this goes to a full-time, sort of taking that, because again, as more and more, as the town grows, as all of this stuff becomes more complicated, the treasurer is going to want to focus on treasurer-related duties and not HR-related duties.
How many employees are you going to have?
When
we first started talking about this, it wasn't so much that administrative work as it was the grants and the project planning and the note-taking here at the meetings and posting things on the website. It was that type of stuff. It wasn't the personnel-related stuff so much.
Right.
And, I mean, that kind of evolved out of the job descriptions that we looked at. So maybe what we need to do is take another step back, take a look at what we have now, and say, what do we really need out of this part-time position?
I feel like
let's start with that.
Right. That's what I thought we did last time, and then had the opportunity for people to write on that and say, like, here are the main things that we need this person to do. And the feedback from that really was exactly what you said, kind of the administrative support of work, the grant writing, not as much the project planning.
Well, working with Adam on the plans or whatever.
Can I also just an umbrella thought mm-hmm. is that you guys don't realize, and Tamit that can probably look at the files and see when they were last worked on for the gravel pit when she came on board. So you have a learning curve that you're dealing with. So next year when you do it, it will not be so onerous. And you're dealing with a lot of history where things were just left.
Yeah.
Safe. So
I'm more thinking about
you had a really hard year that you won't have next year, and you will have cleaned up.
Can you say that loud? You had a really hard
day. Well, but at the same time, we do have at 46. That is a huge, it's going to be a huge drain on Adam. So if we don't bring in somebody to help with that paperwork, he's going to be spending all his time on paperwork and not out on the roads. And so that, to me, was the main, one of the main concerns we had and why we were creating this position. So I think we have to be careful that we're not trying to get too much done with a part-time position and focus on where our real pain points are.
Because from
least for now.
Select board experience, the select board was Adam would go get figures to plug in, but we had a 5-year grant plan and we managed it every year. And that wasn't done, you know, prior to you guys coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the grant that I left on the table when I left the select board is still sitting there. So you've got your learning curve and your backlog. So, you know, they do take time. Mm-hmm. What this, you know, new legislation's going to put on you, I don't know. Plus, Adam wasn't, you know, he had to shift gears too with
mm-hmm.
because he wasn't solely responsible for grants until.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're close, too. I'm not suggesting a whole new rewrite. I just think that we need to be
Oh, that's what I heard.
A little
Stacey.
More methodical.
I heard you say a rewrite.
Is that what you heard? I heard you say throw this out and go
that's
get
what
more
I heard.
Days.
That's what I heard.
Oh. Yeah. You do what you want. It really has no skin off my feet, one way or the other. I am very worried that we are trying to do too much with a part-time position, and we're kind of missing the mark. So, but that's just my opinion.
His job and not write grants. That's what I've been hearing since you started this.
That's one of the
main. And
means.
That's all that's. Mm-hmm.
That was the catalyst.
But keep in mind,
that's still in there.
Five now because.
Yeah.
So he's not going to write five.
I won't
vote
for this the way you guys have it written now. I'm totally against having an administrator.
Well, have you?
What about an assistant to the select board that did? Basically grants clerking for the select board
meetings.
And go into a bunch of meetings that we can't all get
because
to.
Because that it
takes away Adam the 10 to 15 hours a week that Adam spends doing paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for that.
Mm-hmm. That's what this would, this would do that too.
But that's what I'm for. I'm not for all the other stuff you guys want.
So I'm part of that, understanding what grants are out there and going to the trainings and things like that. Some of these other meetings that we can't all get to because most of us are working full-time. Those are things that could actually bring the town more money because it's grant opportunities, because it's learning about all these different things. So that's why the meetings and stuff would be important and a piece of this.
We've been in this town for 30 years, and we don't have a lot of stuff going on every year.
But the new regulations that we have are going to up that game quite a bit. So that's why...
See it.
Well,
that's we don't.
That's
need to,
okay.
We don't need to.
So I apologize if I misled you in saying you needed a whole new rewrite. I do remember saying that, but that's not exactly what I meant. I guess I'm just tired of looking at it.
I feel like it's good. I feel like we're almost there, and I feel like it does reflect the need to take some of the administrative burden off of Adam. And to relieve some of the administrative burden off of volunteer select board members who cannot adequately do the work of the town because they cannot participate in all of the meeting opportunities.
I would agree.
So,
So,
do you think we change it to assistant to the select board rather than a town administrator?
Well, I mean, can we, now that we've already got it in the budget?
Sure. You just make a motion to change it.
Just discuss it. You can call it anything you want to.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Then
I'm
fine
with that.
That would be more understandable because when you say town administrator,
everybody thinks
they're
Bill Shepard.
Neighboring towns with public works and water departments and the recreation. You don't have all those departments,
right?
The town
princess.
So
they're confused. Before.
Have you had a chance to look through that?
I found
you know
it
that's
in the Fairpoint spam thing this afternoon.
Oh,
so
okay.
Now,
that's my
job. Which I have to log on to separately.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
If you have a chance, I'd be interested to see your comments.
Okay.
David has one.
David?
One quick question. How do labor laws come into play here in terms of you're saying a part-time person, who I assume that is paid by the hour, is going to attend meetings, so if they go to Montpelier, there's a half-hour driving time to get there that they're going to get paid for?
They're going to get the whole shoot and match.
So those hours can get chewed up pretty quickly if they're going to meetings. I just want to point that out.
That is true, yes. It's either that or, in most cases, nobody can go because we're all working. So, but yes, that's
or because they conflict with our meetings here at the town too.
Yeah.
No, you're right though. Mileage, all of that.
Yep. And we talked about them being able to flex like one week to the other. If they knew that there was a week with two or three meetings, then maybe they work almost 40 hours that week, and then the following week. Work fewer to be able to make up for the time and even out to an average of 20. Okay. So edits welcome. Let's finalize this at the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
And did it go to Adam, the revised version?
I don't think I did send it to him, but I will.
Okay. And Anne as well.
Anne has it.
Okay.
All right. We have one more executive session to discuss a personnel matter on the agenda.
I move that we go to executive session.
Is there anything else after this executive session?
No, sir.
Nope.
So can I just make one suggestion?
Yes, sir.
Several letters have been read here. Is it possible that they could either be put on the agenda and scared on the website or at least posted outside so that people could read them before the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Ah, instead of reading them during the meeting.
On the website with your minutes.
Attaching to the agenda instead of the minutes.
You know, somebody can put them one day before. On
yeah, unfortunately, this was handed to me right here at the
today.
Meeting.
Yeah.
But the email one,
the
I agree. Yeah, the ones in advance, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Good suggestion.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, David.
Okay, now I move
thanks, Mari.
That
Bye.
We
Thanks.
Go
Thanks,
to
everyone.
Executive session.
We have some language.
I'd like to. Oh.
Yeah, you do it.
Move into executive, adjourn to executive session at 8:24. In order to talk about public disclosure, premature public disclosure of the subject would be disadvantageous to the town or an individual.
I second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right.
I thought this one was a personnel matter. Is this also a public disclosure thing?
It is a personnel
thing?
Matter.
Oh. Yeah, but a person. So.
Okay, so the select board came out of executive session at 9:10 p.m. No actions were taken. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning at 9:11 p.m., please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Good night.